Hi, welcome to Head Start, the podcast for race directors and the business of putting on races. On February 17th, former president of the Portland Marathon, Lester Smith, was indicted by a grand jury on charges of wire fraud and tax evasion. In the indictment, Smith, who has led the Portland Marathon as both president and race director since 1982, is accused of embezzling more than $1 million from the race's coffers to fund his personal luxury lifestyle. Today, we'll be looking back at the story of Lester Smith and his time at the Portland Marathon, the legal cases brought against him, and the impact events have had on the Portland running community and the Portland Marathon. With me to discuss the facts and implications from the case is Jeff Manning, a runner and veteran investigative reporter from The Oregonian, who has followed the Lester Smith case closely since it first broke in 2018. So stick around for a fascinating dive into the Portland Marathon story. Like all our podcast episodes, of course, today's bonus episode wouldn't have been possible without the support of our podcast sponsors. And I'm very happy to report that we have a new sponsor joining us on the podcast, RaceCheck. You may remember RaceCheck from our Race Reviews podcast back in September. They have an amazing, one-of-a-kind product that helps race organizers of any size easily collect and showcase participant reviews on their website through the RaceCheck review box. We are very, very happy to welcome RaceCheck to the podcast alongside our other good friends at RunSignUp. RunSignUp, of course, probably don't need much of an introduction. They are the leading all-in-one technology solution for endurance and fundraising events, with more than 26,000 events using them as we speak. Quite an amazing figure. So listeners, make sure to check out both of these amazing industry innovators. Go to runsignup.com for market-leading registrations, fundraising, free race websites, free email marketing, and tons more free stuff. And make sure to visit organizers.racecheck.com. That's organizers with an S, .racecheck.com, for a new way to use the power of race reviews and social proof to boost your website registrations by an awesome 20%. Okay, now let's join The Oregonian's Jeff Manning for a look at the case of Lester Smith and the Portland Marathon. Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Panos. Good morning.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. Good morning to you. I'm really excited to have a real-life investigative journalist on the podcast for once. So, tell our listeners, please, a little bit about yourself and the work you do at The Oregonian.
I am an investigative reporter, senior reporter. I'm very old. Been at the paper a long time. I guess about 20 years ago, I developed a specialty in white-collar crime and generally just following people who are behaving badly. And I'm a runner, or at least I was before I got my hip replaced this year. Just love writing about sports and the business of sports. So this was a natural for me.
Absolutely. And I think it's a perfect nexus of things. A runner, someone's interested in sports and white-collar crime. It's very relevant to today's discussion. So today, we are going to be going over the case of Lester Smith, the former president of the Portland Marathon. Some people in the audience may have followed this. It's been going on for a while. I think it all sort of like started around 2018, all started to emerge. I'll give my very rough kind of one-liner summary here, and then I'll hand over to you to give like a more proper summary of what's been happening so far. So Lester Smith, former president of the Portland Marathon, he was indicted recently at the federal level. There's been some legal action against him before that for embezzling upwards of $1 million during his time at the Portland Marathon. And there were also some tax evasion charges and some other stuff. Why don't you give us the more proper short summary of the whole case? What's been happening so far?
You're right. It has dragged on forever. Les Smith took over the marathon. I thought he founded the marathon way back in 1982, but it existed before that. He became the official head of the group in 1982. He's a former, he's a longtime labor lawyer in town. The Portland Marathon was his hobby. At least it started out as his hobby, and then it became sort of a full-time job. The Portland Marathon emerged with a very interesting image. It wasn't a super competitive marathon. It was the people's marathon. It allowed you to wear headphones and it encouraged the everyday runner to give it a try. And things went fine until 2012. There were a series of years where the race clashed with the police. They clashed over the route. Les clashed with his board of directors, which he had founded relatively late in the game. These were, for the most part, a bunch of running enthusiasts, and they were not professional financial people, but they knew enough to suspect that something was going on. Then in 2018, it all blew up. The Oregon Department of Justice came in, which regulates nonprofits, of which Portland Marathon was one, and they accused Les of borrowing $865,000 from the organization and not paying it back and not being forthcoming about what the money was used for in the first place. Les settled with the state. He repaid the race $865,000. His second command, Mamie Wheeler, agreed to repay $30,000 to the race. They quit, they left town, and everybody thought it was sort of a done deal. And then they're charged criminally at the federal level just weeks ago, almost 5 years after the state took the action. Why the long delay? I can't really tell you. So that's where we are now.
So it sounds like you weren't expecting this whole story to come back and for the federal charges to materialize on top of what happened a couple of years ago with the state case.
I had been tipped off that it was coming, that the case was still alive. You know, back, boy, I don't know, 2 years ago, I had heard that they were still investigating. And I sat down with several members, former members of the Portland Marathon board. They had been talked to by the FBI. They thought something was up, and then nothing happened. And I thought, okay, that's the way it goes. Sometimes they opt not to, and they don't exactly share their logic with me. Then obviously, they never dropped it and lowered the boom a couple weeks ago. Wire fraud, several counts of wire fraud and several counts of attempt to evade taxes.
How do the Oregon State case and the federal case, you'd think that they would be on different charges, right? I guess you can't be, you know, you can't go to trial twice for the same thing. So what was the Oregon case? What were the charges in the Oregon case? And what really was left out for the federal case now to pursue?
The Department of Justice in Oregon has a unit that oversees nonprofits. And there is a strict, separate body of law that applies to nonprofits. Even if you are the founder and chief executive of the nonprofit, you cannot loot it for your own good purposes. It was a civil case on their part. They came in, they sued him, and they had him dead to rights, and he agreed to repay the money, and he did. The criminal thing is a whole different world. It's federal. At least in this case, it was federal. The U.S. attorney came in to part of the federal Department of Justice. There's a whole different body of law there.
The interesting thing for me when I was sort of digging up very superficially over published articles about the case, and I actually also read an interview that Les Smith gave a few years back to a running magazine when none of this stuff had emerged. And, you know, he was talking about how he was the president of the Oregon Road Runners Club before coming into the Portland Marathon. And apparently there's a story he shares there about, you know, meeting Fred LeBeau in the Honolulu Marathon and, you know, being inspired to basically, you know, make the Portland Marathon a grander race. And as you mentioned, he sort of takes over in 1982. And then for the next 30 years, no irregularities have emerged, at least, you know, until now, I guess. And then suddenly, 30 years later in 2012, he starts putting his hands in the register. So why did it all start in 2012?
You know, that is the question that haunts all of his friends, his former friends, because it was just a bunch of runners, you know. They just liked to run. They were recreational types. They weren't world class. And I think that the other people felt so betrayed because he exposed them to potential liability. And they just, to this day, they can't believe that he got greedy. That's what they put it down to. He got greedy. You know, there's lots of conspiracy theories about other people being a bad influence on Les. But all of a sudden, according to the federal prosecutors, they were taking money, a lot of money, out of the race to fund shopping sprees, pay for the rent of his girlfriend. Wild stuff. You know, for a older former or still a practicing lawyer in town, it was shocking. Shocking arrogance that anybody thought they could get away with that.
Yeah, I can imagine. And actually, speaking of arrogance, it seemed, as you were saying earlier, that, you know, 2016, 2017, he had a few kind of like run-ins with local authorities, permits being denied, being withheld. It seemed like, yeah, he may have become a little bit too much of himself around that time. The other thing that's very surprising to me in all this is that the way running and the business of putting on races, or rather, you know, the act of putting on races, involves lots of nonprofits. You know, nonprofits play a very, very key part in this industry. My understanding was that all of these nonprofits, they are somehow regulated, or, you know, like someone watches over what's happening, whether it's the board, whether it's auditors and stuff like that. How can it be possible for someone to, you know, get away with basically stealing like close to $1 million and no one like figuring it out for 6 years from 2012 to 2018?
Well, for one thing, for years and years, the only members of the board were Les and Mamie Wheeler, his number two. And so there was no oversight. They could do whatever they want. He could, as the indictment alleges, he could take money out of the race, pay his credit card debt, and direct Wheeler to get back into the QuickBooks software and obscure that usage. I mean, they created an accounts receivable column where all of these withdrawals were accounted for to make it look like things were kosher when they weren't. Now, it's a good question of when he brought on this new board, because at some point he did. That was when things started to go south on him, because suddenly he had this level, admittedly sort of crude level, but he had some oversight. And, you know, his handling of things did not stand up to that scrutiny.
Was he forced to involve more people into the board? I guess if he was doing stuff, shady stuff, he wouldn't have volunteered to bring those people on.
I think that's a complicated question, and I don't really have enough grounding. And, you know, that's 10 years ago. And the only thing I knew about the Portland Marathon at the time was that you wanted to avoid certain parts of town on marathon day because it was really, the traffic was going to be a mess.
Right. So do we know then around 2018 how he got found? Like what happened and all of that stuff came to light?
I think the board members tipped off the Department of Justice that things were not right.
I see. And Les, did he attempt, I guess we also have the minutes of the state case. Has Les tried to defend himself against the accusations in any way?
He settled the state case by repaying the $865,000. And then he moved to Texas, dropped out of the marathon. And I think that he thought that he had successfully fended off any further problems. He did hire a criminal defense lawyer here in town, a very good one, very expensive one. And everyone thought that the two of them together had, that was going to be the end of it. How the state case morphed into the federal case, it's just something that we have not yet figured out. I think we too thought it was a done deal until, well, you know, the race has gone through some difficult times since then. Things are looking up now, but boy, for a while there was a real post-Les Smith hangover. It's taken a while for the reformed race under new management to find its feet, find its legs.
Yeah, and great management it is, the new management, Brooksy. I think it's a really solid company. Let's hope they make the most of this and they give the people of Portland back their race. In terms of Les now, you said he moved to Texas. The federal case against him, do we know when that's set to go to trial?
These things are really, really slow. Yeah, if it follows the usual pattern, it will drag on for months, if not years. It just seems to be the practice of many federal prosecutors that you file the charge and then you sit back just wait and wait and wait for the other side to finally crack and say, okay, I'll settle. so that they can avoid a trial, which is expensive and a ton of work, and you never know what's going to happen. So I fully expect that to happen in this case. You know, it's not just the $865,000. There is more money that's unaccounted for. We don't have a good idea of how much, whether they're ever going to find it, whether they're ever going to be able to recover it. So his former board members are convinced that there is a lot more money unaccounted for. So they would be in a better position to know than I. So we'll see. Generally, what happens is as they learn more, the prosecutors will file an amended complaint that is stronger and has more detail. And again, just ratchet up the pressure on Les to settle.
Yeah, because the other thing actually is that in all of this, Les also had a for-profit company on the side, right, which he was the owner of. And there were some practices of sort of transfer pricing in the whole thing, right? Basically, the nonprofit awarding contracts directly to Les's business. And of course, you know, it's almost like one hand taking money from one pocket and putting it into the other pocket. No oversight at all there.
Les had a pretty sweet deal here. He was getting paid a salary by the Marathon, $514,000, pretty hefty. He was getting next events hired by the Marathon, management contracts. And he was, according to both departments of justice, he was stealing money from the organization. So he had three flows of revenue going into his pocket. I think that any sort of athletic event, public athletic event, is so dependent on the goodwill of the public. You want to feel like you're support. If you're a runner, you want to feel like you're supporting a solid organization, and you want to feel that they are doing this for altruistic reasons. And I think when it started to come out that there was money going missing, and the suspicion that it was winding up in the director's pocket, that was really damaging to the race, really damaging to the reputation. And like I say, that they're still sort of battling that hangover.
So that's interesting. I mean, in terms of the fallout, you're a runner. I mean, obviously, you know, you're a local resident. It's very important to you. You know people on the ground. You know how the community is feeling. In what ways did this kind of betrayal manifest itself? Like, how did this whole story sort of affect the local community and the running community and the people of Portland?
Well, participation nosedived, for one thing. I mean, this is a race that between the marathon and the half marathon, they would have more than 10,000 people a year. And I think in the last year, it was 4,000. So it is sort of a shadow of its former self. Although Brooksy says, we're going to build this up to one of the preeminent marathons in the country. We're going to have 30,000 people participating by 2030, et cetera, et cetera. They started having trouble with the city. No one understood that. You know, why could this race that has been happily coexisting with the city for years suddenly not be able to agree on anything? Les's inability to mend those fences and keep those relationships intact, people just didn't get it. And I think it was, I don't know if there's a relationship with the fact that he felt like things, the authorities were coming in and cornering him. There's this great moment, not a great moment. It was a terrible moment. It was, I think it was the year after Les left. And they had put the race in the hands of new management. This is not Brooksy. This is another company. At some point, a Union Pacific train crossed the route of the marathon, got and blocked the route. So all these runners who were hoping to, you know, obviously run it as fast as they could, maybe qualify for some other marathon, were blocked by a freaking freight train. It was going slow enough across the road that it took like 20 minutes. Some runners refused to wait. They were hopping up on the train between cars and jumping down on the other side. It's a minor miracle that no one was killed. But man, people were furious afterwards. And that management company did not last another year. And they brought Brooksy in. That was sort of a sad realization of where the marathon had gone.
Yeah, I remember. I actually remember the story you're referring to, because I remember thinking after the whole fraud thing, then you had the thing with the train. It was almost like there was a curse on that event. I mean, you know, you get so much bad luck just stacked one year to the next. I really hope Brooksy can make an awesome job making the Portland Marathon all it can be, because Portland, I've been to the city. It's an amazing place. Like, Oregon deserves a solid metropolitan marathon like the Portland Marathon. So let's hope everything turns out fine. In terms of Les now, I guess, and his case, the federal case, what's at stake for him? Are we talking jail time or more fines, or how bad can this turn out for him?
It can turn really bad. He could be looking at jail time. I mean, this is not a violent crime. He's older. These prosecutors don't mess around. They are willing to talk a deal, but they have the power to imprison you. And I've seen cases less serious than this in terms of an amount of money that will result in jail time. You do not want federal charges filed against you. They generally are very cautious. They only bring charges when they think they can win. So I guess time will tell where Les ends up. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, it's not a small thing what he did. And I think, you know, beyond the money, as you say, it wreaked havoc on the event, on the community, on the trust people had in the Portland Marathon and everything. So, I mean, yeah, let's leave this whole thing to the courts. Let's let it take its route, I guess. So, Jeff, I think this has been amazing, really informative. Thank you very much for coming on. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about the story or about yourself, or maybe reach out?
Anybody who wants to talk the marathon, I'm very interested. My email is jmanning@oregonian.com, and I'd love to hear from you. You will be following it closely. Oregon Live is our website. This is a tough time in Portland. There's a lot going on between the pandemic and the social unrest, wildfires, heat domes. This has not been a happy time for a place that's generally been one of the more successful urban areas. And it would be really nice to have the marathon come back really strong. There is some good news. Oregon Health Science University, which is our big medical complex, med school, huge employer, has stepped back in as the lead sponsor of the race. They had dropped out last year because of the pandemic. The last thing in the world a struggling race needs is for their lead sponsor to drop out, but they're back. So let's hope that is a harbinger of good times to come.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's hope that. I'm sure, as I said, Brooksy, they're a great bunch, and they're going to do their best to bring the Portland Marathon to its former glory and beyond. So, Jeff, I want to thank you very, very much for coming onto the podcast and sharing all of this with us.
Thanks, Panos. It's fun.
And I want to thank the listeners for sticking with us for this special episode, and I will see everyone on our next episode. I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode of the Portland Marathon fraud case with Oregonian investigative reporter Jeff Manning. You can always check out more great content from the podcast by visiting racedirectorshq.com/headstart. And you can get all new episodes of the podcast delivered straight to your phone, laptop, or other digital device by subscribing to the podcast on your favorite podcast player. Until our next episode, come join the discussion with more than 6,000 fellow race directors in our Race Directors Hub group on Facebook. Take care of yourselves and keep putting on amazing races.